a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
There's a story that's been floating around for the last couple of days, and I thought I'd bring it to the table because I'd be interested to get your take on it.
Okay.
There's certain things, certain mysteries that are enduring around the world. You know, there's the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes.
There's the Min Min Lights. I've got a T-shirt.
That just came to your brain. It had nothing to do with the T-shirt you were wearing the other day.
Yeah. And there's...
Holy shit, it's Bigfoot!
Yes, the Sasquatch.
Mm.
The Yeti.
The Yowie.
Yeah.
Not just a chocolate.
Mm.
Apparently a large creature.
Well, that's Bigfoot's cousin.
Well, yeah. So, and... Oh, God, what's the Aussie one?
The Yowie.
The Yowie.
Yeah, Yowie. Yeti is the one in the cold.
Yeti, I was
confusing. Sasquatch is,
yeah.
You know, well, Sasquatch knows what he is. I don't have to get into it.
It's funny. Anyway.
the Canadian Bigfoot.
Mystical tales of elusive creatures and, you know, blurry photos being taken, like fakes being disproven, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go down to, you go to Get Your Gear on Mercer Street. Those guys have like a Bigfoot costume that you can hire.
Yeah.
And then you could just go down sort of Cape Otway and just go...
Don't do that, please.
...walking through the bush. Like,
don't do that.
You would make the Addy. The Addy would run front page with that. Make it out what you will. So obviously most people are like, yeah, whatever, it's not a thing. Otherwise we would have caught one by now and probably eaten it.
Yeah.
Certainly shot it.
Don't.
Until now, right? Mm. So a lot of people believe that they've finally captured good footage of Bigfoot from a train that travelled past the San Juan National Forest in Colorado.
Yeah.
Sounds like where Bigfoot might live. National Forest in Colorado, mate.
Mm-hmm. Climate change too. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of snow.
No. Anyway, so in this footage that's been posted, unidentified being can be seen taking a leisurely stroll in the thick of the Rocky Mountain terrain before squatting down and then taking a rest all in broad daylight. Now, squatting is an emotional
It's an emotional term for a Sasquatch.
It's emotive. That's what it is. It's
Sasquatch sort of, squatting.
Mm.
Try and say that fast three times.
Pop the Sasquatch.
Didn't get there.
What's he doing? Popping a Sasquatch squat. Ooh, you need more fibre.
Oh, man.
Or less.
Mm.
So this video was captured by Shannon Parker, a 44-year-old contractor from Cheyenne, Wyoming, who, along with her husband, were overcome with excitement over what they'd witnessed.
Mm.
It's story time, y'all.
Okay, imagine this. We're on a train, okay? And I'm like, oh, my God, check out this.
Mm.
As if you wouldn't be screaming to everyone on board.
Yeah, right.
And then the train, I'd be like, stop the train.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, what's going on? Surely, right?
Yeah.
Why would you just film it and then just get on with your life and then be like,
well,
hey.
Let's let her say. On Sunday, let's let me say on her behalf. On Sunday, October 8, 2023, Stetson Tyler and I, what an American name, and I took the narrow gauge train ride from Durango to Silverton. After leaving Silverton, heading back to Durango, I asked Stetson to help me look for elk in the mountains. Sounds legit. As we are passing by the mountains, Stetson sees something moving and then says, I think it's Bigfoot. Brandon, the guy sitting next to Stetson. How American is this story? Brandon and Stetson. On the train, grabs his phone, starts recording. Meanwhile, I'm trying to get a photo on my camera. And then, have you seen the video?
I've seen the video and I've seen the photos.
She said, y'all, out of the hundreds of people on the train, three or four of us actually saw, as Stetson says in the video, the ever-elusive creature Bigfoot. I don't know about y'all, but we believe.
Mm. Do you believe?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. It looks pretty realistic. If it's not the real Bigfoot, it's someone in a Bigfoot costume.
Yeah.
That has gone out into the middle of the national park and waited for a train to come past.
See, this is the thing. We've been telling you that Ling is off doing work, but what he's actually doing is sitting in the Otways.
I thought the amount of hair that was involved, it might have been when you had that week off last week.
All right.
You might have popped over to Colorado. Shave your knees, mate. It's almost summer.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Let's do a tight and bright version of this. Monday you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, break my heart. On Thursday, doesn't even start. It's fun fact. Friday, I'm in love. Every Friday morning, we like to send you off to work with some fun and interesting facts that you can use to impress your workmates who aren't your real mates, but it is important they think you're smart, because then when an opportunity comes up in the workplace, for example, a pay rise or a promotion, they'll say, hey, give it to Gary or Karen. Obviously very smart, obviously very good at their jobs. They're always full of fun and interesting facts. You're welcome. All right, here we go. Let's crack through. You're literally on the same wavelength when you interact with someone. Your brain waves actually synchronize.
Oh, my God, because yeah. Our monthly schedules also synchronize.
No wonder I walk out of this studio at 9:05 every morning, like in a haze, like my brain feels scrambled because I've spent 3 hours on your wavelength.
You're welcome.
Older people who eat cheese have higher cognitive functioning than those who do not, which is why I'm a manager.
Do you eat cheese?
Yes, a lot of it. I've been asked to eat less cheese.
Really?
By the doctors.
And the toilet.
41% of the French public is in favour of a limit of 4 flights per lifetime.
Oh.
Man, the French, they're...
Well, they just want to stay. They're just like, we're right here.
That's for everybody else. 4 flights per lifetime, none of them to France, please.
Yeah.
Having books or plants in your Zoom background makes you seem more trustworthy.
Oh, yes, that sounds good.
There's a species, I should say, there's a species of African crocodile that moos like a cow.
Oh, bless them.
Moo, chomp your face off.
Bless.
G'day, moo, chomp.
Beautiful.
Earlier this year, a Harvard researcher of dishonesty, was put on leave due to allegations of fraud in her work.
The perfect crime.
She's getting high on her own supply.
Yeah, she
In some species of spider, females are 125 times heavier than males, not just spiders.
No, because we're carrying the weight of everything.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
That actually checks out.
All the lists in our brains.
Every morning, Napoleon, this is another French one, Napoleon would stand naked. This is a good visual, this one. Every morning, Napoleon, traditionally quite a small man, would stand naked and pour a bottle of eau de cologne over his head. So a whole bottle of cologne on his head, and then rub his chest and hands with a rough brush.
It sounds more Italian than French.
His back and shoulders were then rubbed by a valet, and if the rubbing wasn't vigorous enough, Napoleon would shout, "Stronger like an ass!" Which is how I thought everybody starts their day. That's certainly how we get ready for the show. Fun fact.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
We've got a very special guest joining us on the line now. He's in the Gold Coast at the moment, but almost a year ago today, he finished an epic run from Perth all the way to Bondi to raise funds for the homeless. His name is Ned Brockman. Good morning.
Good morning, team. How are we?
Oh, we're excited to have you on the line, mate, and excited to have you coming to Geelong on Monday night.
Mate, I'm pumped. I can't wait. I love being down Geelong. How are we all doing?
What was that? Sorry, mate.
You cut out there.
How are we all feeling?
Yeah, we're good. Are you flying down or are you starting your run now? Like, what's...
From the Golden.
I wish I could move that quick on feet, but I'm pretty slow on the old ones and twos, so... I'll be heading Monday, flying in, so very excited.
Mate, you are an inspiration to so many people around Australia, and, you know, your run from Perth captured sort of hearts and minds right around the country. Did you have a feeling you might be onto something and you might actually capture a bit of attention by doing this run?
It's a hard question. It's something I get asked a lot because there's been 30 people run across Australia before me and there's probably been six or so after. And it's a kind of weird one that I'm the one that had a lot of people get around it. And I think I just was being myself and I had no agenda with it other than wanting to help and wanting to see what I could do with my body. And it just just caught on and everyone got around it so hard. And I think people want to help when someone's doing good, and that's the kind of message I like spreading is if you do good, good stuff will go around. You know, that butterfly effect of people showing up in their day a little bit more, and it just became this massive storm. And by the time I hit New South Wales, it was just, it became quite massive.
It was pretty emotional to watch you running in there and seeing all the people and the amount of money that was raised by you. Phenomenal. You're actually the fastest ever Aussie to run across Australia. So I understand you were averaging 80 Ks a day. Were you doing that type of running beforehand, or is that just pure mental stamina? Because I have never run 8 Ks. And to think of running 8 Ks day after day after day, you were running 80 Ks a day. Like, my mind can't get around how the hell you did that.
Yeah, so I was averaging 100 for the first 11 days, 100 a day. To be honest, I started running 2.5-3 years ago. So I really don't, I haven't got a background in running, to be honest. I just, my kind of message, and I think this is probably why people caught on, is that, you know, I've just taken on an opportunity. I've grabbed life and gone, let's just go make something of it. And I think that's what people kind of probably grabbed. I'm not some athlete who's gone, right, I'm going to continue on this path of what I'm doing. It's like, this is just an Aussie kid who, you know, wants to help and dream big. And that's kind of why. And I think the lack of Ks probably caught up to me when I hit day 12 and had a pretty bad injury. But when your mind won't quit, it will. The body will keep following if you tell it to.
It's like eating chili, Loggy. I was telling you off air. It's
yeah, once you get this to is a certain, what he said.
Once you get to a certain heat on your tongue, it just sort of plateaus and everything is sort of the same.
You're exactly right. What a great similarity, eating chili and running 100K a day.
No, Tom ended up in hospital once for eating a really bad chili.
Twice.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Hey, Ned, your ethos, your overall, like, I mean, you want people to show up and you want people to sort of show up for each other and do what they can to help their fellow man, but you had this ethos of get comfortable being uncomfortable, which really has struck a chord with so many people. Is that something that you've just sort of, is that the way you've always been? Like, would your mum be surprised? Was she surprised to hear about all this and that you were doing this run and you're this kind of guy? Or is this the way you've always been?
I don't think mum was surprised. I think nothing surprised her now. I think, like, running probably was never going to be what it was going to be, but she always knew there was something, whether it be in my work or whatever it may be, she always knew there was something different about the way I went about things. But in terms of, it was probably a bit of a shock when she's like, right, I'm going to run across the country. But the thing is, mums, they're all supportive, and anything I say, they kind of want to be a part of. They don't want me to push them away for saying I'm doing it, and they say no. So, it's just been a really special experience. And I mean, it's a bit of a shock to me, to be honest. Like, even 3 years ago, if you told me I would be, running across the country and having a book out and being able to speak to all these people and inspire, I would have laughed at you. But that's the way life works. If you get uncomfortable, you have to earn things, take time to earn things. That's when there's a lot of fulfillment. And that's what I love doing, is getting uncomfortable regularly to earn things.
It's an amazing perspective, mate. Now, just quickly, when you said, hey, I'm going to run across the country from Perth to the East Coast, did anyone show you a map? Because you ended up in Bondi and you know we're heaps closer, yeah? Like, you could have gone to St Kilda and it would have been much quicker.
Point to point, mate. Point to point. Point to point.
Yeah.
Also, Ned, you are still quite young. When Tom and I, you know, Tom's in his 40s, I'm in my late 30s, when we get up, we go, ooh, right? Have you started doing that now in your early 20s since your body's probably
That's pretty well me every day, but that's all. It's a mindset, guys. We're only, age is just a number. We're a long time dead, so you may as well make the most of it, eh?
That's it.
Hey, just quickly, my wife is training for her first ever half marathon. Got any words of advice for her?
Oh, look, the simple one is just keep showing up, because if other people can do it, you can do it. I don't think there's any, no one's got any foot up on anyone. It's all just a matter of putting one foot in front of the other. So I'm sure she's done the training, and if she hasn't, she's just got to hold on.
Yeah, that's right. She's getting there, mate. All right, Ned Brockman, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. Speaking of showing up, that is the name of the book. It's on sale now. It's been out for about a week, and it is doing great things. You are going to be at GMHBA Stadium Monday night, 6:30 p.m. Tickets are still available. There are still a few tickets left. We're going to meet you. You're going to take us through the book a little bit and do some signings?
Yep, absolutely. Cannot wait.
All right, get online. Eventbrite. Ned Brockman, love your work, mate. Thanks for having a chat to us this morning.
Awesome. Thanks, legends. See ya.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Good sort of weather to get out and sort of just pop into your local cafe. Yeah. And grab a coffee or breakfast or something like that, but sit inside.
And if
they know your order, all the better, is what I will say.
Yeah, I know, and I get it. I get it. That's the way a brain should work, right? But for some reason, I'm just like, if I go to a place so often that they know my full order, for some reason that makes me a bit embarrassed. I don't know why. It just does.
Is it because you feel like a little piggy, like you shouldn't be going so often?
No, but it's also kind of, yeah, maybe. It's also sort of like I'm taking up space in their brain and I feel bad for that. Does that make any sense?
No. No, honestly, it doesn't. It honestly doesn't because they're the boss of their brain, not you. Okay. If they want to remember, they'll remember. If they don't,
yeah,
you know. And I don't know if that's how brains work.
Okay.
You know. We like to joke about one thing in, one thing out.
Yeah.
But really, I don't think that's how it works.
Okay.
We had Steph from St. Albans Park call through, and she agrees that if you roll into, say, a cafe and they start making you stuff and you want something different, it's very awkward and very uncomfortable.
Yeah, because you can't say, oh, no, I'm after a mocha today because I've changed everything about myself.
Wear a fake moustache. They'll never recognise you. Yeah. Isn't that right, Kirby from Brimley?
Hey guys, good morning.
Hey.
I'm actually a former server of quite a number of years. So for me, when I had people coming in a couple of times and then I start remembering the order, it's more like muscle memory. So it's not actually, you know, you see their face and you're like, oh, I think I know what they want. But a majority of the time I take a pause just before I do anything. A majority of the time I'll order their drinks and stuff, but when it comes to the food, I'll take a pause and go, were you looking for the usual or something different today? And I'd always say that.
Yes.
Because if they wanted something different, then it wouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't have started anything. They'd still get a drink that they really like, but it wouldn't be food, you know?
That's a good way to play it. That's a good way to play it. And then nobody has to overthink it, Loggy. Kerbs, what about this though? And I speak because I know what guys are like. So when guys go in to a cafe or whatever and the lady barista is like, just the usual, and she knows, she remembers the person, does that mean that they want to hook up with them? Because that's the assumption by the guy, oh, she must be into me.
Yeah.
I was friendly like that to everybody.
Yeah, you loved everyone. Everyone, Kerbs.
Not necessarily. You treat everybody equal and you say honey and darling to everybody and all that kind of stuff. Mm. You use the same, you know, little things for everybody so they'll hear it and it'll make them smile. And when they've gone, you'll be saying the same thing to the next person.
That's right. No, but see, you don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're saying, oh, she used a capital T for Tom. That means she's into me.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I know what guys are like.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.